is your device. We're going to all say it in unison, right? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly declare.
I boldly confess
that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
I went into autopilot for a minute there. I think that was an old confession.
We confessed, we declared, we are going to have this word tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so tonight, again, as Pastor Pat said, we're going to talk about overcoming roadblocks to healing. And I was thinking about the lesson and how Pastor and Lady have been teaching on destinations on Sunday mornings. And that is, if you haven't listened, go back and listen. He did part four on Sunday, been an incredible series. And so roadblocks kind of falls into that same category of things that can happen. Nobody wants to come up on a roadblock. You know,
things
like,
that get in the way.
Yeah, things that get in the way. Like, I'm trying to get to my destination. And for healing school, you know, for what we've been teaching on, our destination is our manifestation of health, our manifestation of healing. And that is available to all of us through faith and through the word of God. So we want to talk about overcoming any roadblocks that might be in our way. And we're going to talk about several, and you'll see on the screen, it'll say number one, number two. I'm not saying they got to have numbers. There got to be some kind of order. But, you know, now the number one one really probably is the number one.
Survey
but
says number one. That's
yes,
it.
This probably is the first roadblock. Probably is the number one. But from there, they're not in any particular order. The numbers are just there for the sake of teaching. So the first one that we are going to talk about tonight is the first roadblock to healing is unbelief, and that really is the number one roadblock to healing. And we're going to go right into Mark chapter 6. Verses 1 through 6 in the New Living Translation. And here's an account of Jesus going to his hometown, and here's what happened. It said, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, so now they're going to start speaking and saying something, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And verse 6 says, and he was amazed at their unbelief. You know, it's so very important that we always reverence who Jesus is, that we never, ever forget who he is. We don't ever want to get so familiar with him that we forget his power, that we forget that he is not only Savior, but he is Lord, that Amen. Jesus is the King of Kings, that he is the Lord of Lords, that he is the ruler over all, you know, and so that is so such an important principle to really walk in. Because if we're not honoring Jesus in that way, the way that we see happen here in Mark chapter 6, then that really is a form of unbelief. And that's what these people did. And that became a roadblock to the power of God flowing freely to them. It wasn't that Jesus didn't want to do it. It wasn't that he didn't want to heal more people than that. The way that the word, if you look it up in the original language, the way the word sick there is used is basically that he could heal people with a few minor ailments. And so, you know, we're talking about the Son of God who had been going around the countryside, you know, healing the blind and the lame were walking and the dead were rising again. But now he's in a place where he's not being honored and the power of God can't flow freely. And so that's just important. I know, you know, something that we've taught our kids and that we aspire to is to keep the third commandment. The third commandment is found in Exodus 20. I mean, I want to keep all 10 commandments because the Bible says,
10 for 10.
I mean, yeah, right, 10 for 10. But the third one is what we're going to talk about right now. You know, when Jesus came, he said he came to fulfill the law. He actually didn't come to do away with it, but he came to give us the grace to walk in it, you know, to actually fulfill it through the law of love. And one of the commandments we're going to talk about, the commandment we're going to talk about tonight is found in Exodus 20 and verse 7. It says this, very simply, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That word vain there, it means nothingness, emptiness of speech, worthlessness. It's, you know, using the name of God or the name of Jesus in a way that really doesn't honor his power. and really doesn't honor who he is. And so we've made that a big deal at our house, you know, because if we're not careful, we could, you know, get in a jest or just say the name of Jesus mindlessly. And we may not, in one sense, mean any harm. It's not a condemnation issue. But at the same time, if we're doing that, you know, it's going to be hard for our spirit to recognize we're calling on the all-powerful Jesus, the Son of God, if we're just kind of using his name mindlessly. And then in the world, I mean, you know, they'll use the name of Jesus as a profanity. And certainly as believers, we don't do that, you know. But we want to be sure that we're honoring his name, because his name is the name above every name. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 tells us this. It says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when I honor the name of Jesus, when I don't take his name in vain, you know, I'm saying, you know, I'm not going to be over familiar, because that's really what happened in Mark chapter 6. You know, they were familiar with him. They knew his family. They knew he was a carpenter. You know, and oh, that's just Jesus. No, he's the Son of God. He's the one that has healing in his wings. He's the one with all power. He's the name that is above every name. And so, you know, he's not walking the earth for us to become familiar with him, you know, in that way, over familiar. But we want to be sure we don't become over familiar with who he is in the spirit and with his name.
That's good.
You know, and so that's so important. And then, of course, also, this can be applied to the Word of God, which is intimately connected to the name of Jesus. Psalm 138, 2 shows us this. And the psalmist says, I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. I love that scripture right there. I do. I love that scripture. The promises of God are backed by the honor of his name. Do you know what, God? He's never lied to you. He's never changed his mind about you. And he has never failed you. And he's never failed me. Amen. He's never done that. His name is honorable. He always keeps his word. You prayed at the beginning that he watches over his word to perform it. You know, and so he's always watching over his word. If God said in his word that Jesus took 39 stripes, and by those stripes you are healed, that's in Isaiah 53, then that is true.
Amen.
And that promise is backed by the honor of his name. And so, you know, if we're dealing with unbelief, if we realize, you know, I'm really not honoring Jesus the way I should, then what do I do? Well, he gave us the cure for it in Mark 6 and verse 6. It says, 6 and 7, it says that he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. Well, it was just verse 6. He went from village to village teaching the people. So the cure for unbelief is teaching. You know, when Jesus encountered unbelief, he just went and taught more word.
Yeah.
You know, so if I realize that I'm not, you know, if I'm having trouble believing that God can really do this, if I'm having trouble understanding, no, the name of Jesus is above cancer. The name of Jesus is above migraines. The name of Jesus is above fibromyalgia. The name of Jesus is above diabetes. I mean, I don't care what name, it doesn't matter. Any name, they're going to come up with new names tomorrow for sicknesses. It doesn't matter what it is. His name will never change. It will always be up above whatever that sickness or illness is. So you know what? You just take some time and you just get more word in your heart. You just get that healing word and get that healing word. You know, Pastor encouraged us on Sunday to listen to these healing lessons over and over. That's not because of Pastor Pat and I. That's because of the word.
Amen.
I mean, we've enjoyed sharing the word with you, but he wants you to hear that word and get it down in your heart and build your faith, so that if a faith trial comes in the area of sickness, then we will be built up in faith. We will not be in unbelief, but rather we'll be in faith, and we'll be able to conquer that roadblock.
Wow. So, you know, it's funny how, you know, in that passage it says Jesus, well, it's not funny, but it's interesting.
Yes.
How Jesus was amazed at their unbelief.
Yeah.
You know, and then other times, you know, when scripture talks about the word astonishment or amazement, it's as a result of faith.
Right.
So he was amazed at the unbelief. I don't want Jesus to be to be amazed at my unbelief.
No.
I want him to be amazed
at
my faith.
Yes.
I want him to be amazed at the right thing.
Right.
Amen?
Absolutely.
And
amen.
So that really struck me, you know, when you were reading that passage. And really, you know, he came up, he identified the problem.
Yes.
And he came up with the cure.
He did.
So the problem was unbelief. The cure was teaching.
That's it.
Amen.
Plain and simple.
Amen. So that was the first roadblock, was unbelief. Second roadblock we're going to talk about tonight, a potential roadblock to healing, is unrepentant or unconfessed sin. We want to talk a little bit about sin. I know when Pastor James talks about it, he says, we don't always like to talk about it, but how many know we got to?
Right, right, right.
You know, but it's a part of understanding who we are in Christ and mm-hmm. making sure that if there's issues that we're dealing with, that we address them in the
right.
proper manner,
right.
scripturally, so it doesn't hinder our walk.
Absolutely.
Because God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Amen.
And so he doesn't want anything in our way
right.
that would hinder our walk.
No,
and
not
so
at all.
When the word comes, it's always for our benefit.
Absolutely.
There's always a redemptive quality to the word. It's never to point out how messed up or what a failure you are or
right.
anything like that. No, no, no.
Ever.
There's always a redemptive quality. Whenever a sin is pointed out, it doesn't end with the sin.
No.
It ends with the opportunity to get it right.
That's it.
And that's because God is good. Amen.
Yes, amen.
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 So the second roadblock is unrepentant or unconfessed sin. There's a paralyzed man in Luke 5. Interesting passage. We're going to read in the New King James, Luke 5, 23 to 25. But first, Jesus dealt with the sin, and then he could heal him.
That's right.
So interesting. We're going to read this. Luke 5, 23 to 35, New King James. Which is easier to say? This is Jesus talking here. Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk.
Mm.
But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And really, what really struck me about this is that forgiveness of sin and healing come from the same source.
That's it.
That's what Jesus is
That's
saying
it.
Here. Forgiveness of sin and healing come from the same source. It's all a part of the redemption package.
Yes, it is.
It's a package deal.
It is.
Salvation, amen, and healing are all a part of the same package.
That's right.
When Jesus shed his blood for us, amen,
right.
on the cross, there was a package.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
Was in that package.
Yes.
Healing was in that package. Amen.
Yes.
Prosperity was
That's
in that
right.
package. We were
That's
redeemed
it.
From yes. everything that doesn't look like him.
Yeah, protection was in that package.
There's,
there is so much in that package.
So
Amen.
Much. So the way we must deal with any kind of sin in our lives is through repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 3:19, the NIV, it says, repent then. This is Peter actually talking here, and he knew something about sin. He had something to repent from, right?
Yeah.
So he wasn't advising them to do anything that he didn't have to do
That's
for
right.
himself.
That's right.
Amen. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Look at that. Look at where it ends. It doesn't
That's
end
right.
with sin. It
no.
ends with the goal, which is refreshing.
That's right.
Which comes from his presence.
Yes.
But the blockage.
Right.
The sin is the
right.
blockage.
Yes.
There's no refreshing until there's the removal
That's
of sin.
It. That's
and that's
it.
Why I need to repent, change my mind, turn around. Amen.
Amen.
So God isn't waiting for any of us to come to him like he's an angry judge, but God is a loving father.
That's right.
So he's waiting like a loving father. Unconfessed sin is a hindrance to healing. So God is ready to forgive us, and he's ready to heal us,
That's
but
right.
we got to do our part.
That's it.
So it's important that we check out our lives and take a look at ourselves. Is there anything that we need to correct?
Mm-hmm.
James 5, James chapter 5, 15 and 16, again, New King James. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
Amen.
Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed.
Amen.
The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much.
Amen.
So let's talk about repentance for a minute. So repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry.
Right.
I remember when our girls were small, or even in the 10 to 12, I would use the example of, in the hallway in school, a kid walks up to another kid, slaps him. Right? After that, says, I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay. Day two, same thing happens. In the hallway, kid walks up to this other kid, slaps him. Okay. Right after he does that, he says, I'm sorry.
Right.
Day three, same thing. Is the kid really
I'm
sorry?
I'm not sure how we got to day three, but
no.
Okay. In my school, you didn't get to day three.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We didn't even get to day two.
Right.
My dad found out about it. So.
Right.
But repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry.
Right, right.
It literally means to turn around and go the other way.
Yes.
In other words, I'm making every effort to never go that way again. no matter what I have to do to make that happen.
Right.
So I've got to be willing to make adjustments in my life, make some life changes, maybe some places I can't go, some people I can no longer hang out with.
Right.
I might need to redefine relationships or cut ties with some.
Right.
If they're involved in things that are pulling me off course.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll go to lunch with you, but I'm not going to the club with you.
Right, right.
Amen.
Right.
We're not discarding the person, but we're disconnecting ourselves from behavior that's going to get in the way of what God wants to do.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
So biblical repentance results in changed behavior.
That's good.
That's the
good.
Key right there.
Right.
That kid is not sorry if you keep slapping him every day. Biblical repentance results in changed behavior.
Right.
We often think of sins and our mind immediately goes to, you know, what we call big sins.
Right.
You know, sexual sins. But really, sin is sin.
That's right.
All have sinned, right?
That's right.
We all have sinned.
Right.
We all have sinned and fallen short of his glory.
Right.
We have to recognize that anything that displeases God or goes against his word is sin. Sin literally translates as simply missing the mark.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's what sin is. I'm missing the mark here. So one area where we might miss the mark is not obeying the royal law of love. We don't want to disobey that law. We need to be sure that we're walking in love.
That's right.
Amen. And that's, you know, in reference to our brothers and sisters in Christ, make sure we're giving the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Forgiving, not allowing ourselves to be caught up in bitterness.
Right.
Because ultimately, you know, bitterness is still a choice.
That's right.
And I have to make sure that I'm keeping my heart pure before God. Amen. Like David prayed, created me a
that's
clean
it.
Heart and renew a right spirit within me.
That's
God
right.
couldn't do that until David asked for it.
That's it.
Amen. David had to give God permission and say, God, I want you to create in me a clean heart.
Amen.
Powerful example. Amen. Second thing, another thing I should say that opened the door to sickness in the Bible. There's an example of speaking against a leader. If you remember in Numbers 12, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because they didn't like Moses' choice of a wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know, in a nutshell, that
right.
that's what happened.
You can go read it. It's a long passage.
But right. Miriam was in the lead on the criticism. And basically what happened is she opened the door to the devil and got leprosy.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be careful about dishonoring the one that God has sent to you, because that can, without even realizing it, open the door to the devil and to sickness. And so it's important to understand that a critical spirit is an open door to the enemy. So we want to close that critical spirit door.
No, we definitely do. I mean, you know, and that's when we looked at Mark 6, you know, it was a matter of dishonor, and the power of God couldn't flow because of the dishonor. So honor is so important, you know, and when you come to a place like Without Limits, it's so easy. I mean, how can you not? I mean, really, it's so easy when you have a man and woman of God who are humble, who bring the word, who are accurate, who live, you know, righteous lives and are such great examples. You know, our honor keeps the power of God flowing freely.
Amen.
You know, and what's on them flows down through them to us. And to me, that's exciting. Amen.
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 And another thing that sin does, which we don't want to have anything to do with, is sin leads to condemnation.
Right.
If I don't repent and make that turn, then what happens is my heart will condemn me, and then I don't have confidence in my relationship with God when
right.
I come to him.
Right.
So it really robs me of my faith. 1 John 3:21-22, the New King James, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God.
Mm.
And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Amen.
So repentance, what it does is it restores our confidence, because our hearts know that we're in right standing with God.
That's good.
And so when I'm going to God or coming to God in faith, there's not something in the back of my mind that's kind of distracting me.
Right.
That I need to get rid of so I can come to him without anything interrupting that, you know, visitation from the Lord.
Right. Absolutely. And that's, I mean, he knows anyway. So my thing is, if I have an issue, it's not like God doesn't know. I have an issue. And we all have issues. You know, I mean, Pastor has taught us, I have issues. You have issues. We all have issues. If you think you don't have an issue, well, that's your issue. You know, so, you know, we all have had issues. We've all had sins. You know, Christians, we have to repent.
That's right.
You know, I mean, we're going to miss the mark sometimes, but the key is we don't stay there. You know, that, you know, if we do miss the mark, we go, no, okay, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, admit it, quit it, you know, and then, you know, receive forgiveness by faith. You know, don't let your emotions or your feelings or condemnation rule you, you know, because once he's forgiven you, it's done. The Bible says he takes that sin, he removes it from me as far as the east is from the west. He throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. He's not thinking about that anymore. So don't you think about it anymore.
That's good.
He's moved on, so then I have to move on.
It's not me any longer.
No, that's not me.
Amen, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. It has nothing to do with me anymore. And that's so powerful. So that's That's excellent. And nothing that we can't overcome. There's no sin that we can't overcome. The blood of Jesus is more than enough.
More than enough.
You know, the grace of God is there, and he can help us overcome that roadblock in any area. The next roadblock that we're going to go on to, next roadblock to healing, is a lack of faith effort. A lack of faith effort. Years ago, Pastor taught a series called Faith for the Supernatural. And one of the points in that, in one of his lessons, was this. Our resolve to overcome must be beyond convenient effort.
Wow.
Our resolve to overcome must be beyond convenient effort. You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but faith fights rarely come at a convenient time. You know, I mean, I just never had a challenge showed up and thought, you know what, this was a great day to do this. You know, you just don't do that. You know, there may be times when we have to do some things we hadn't planned to do and have faith fights that we had not expected to have. You know, sometimes illnesses may come or doctor's reports that are unexpected. You know, maybe I expected my healing to be instantaneous, but it's, you know, I feel that there's a delay because it's taking longer. Maybe I'm seeing progress, but I'm not progressing as fast as I want to. I didn't get the instant healing that I wanted. You know, what do I do in those circumstances? I have to put more faith effort in. You know, that's right. That's what happens. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures that talk about that. First Timothy 6:12 in the KJV says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So fight a good fight. I mean, I don't know, we were talking about high school and the kid slapping somebody. I mean, in my school, you know, the high school I went to, if you walked up and slapped somebody, the whole hall was going to be into it, so... You know, it was the inner city, you know. So, you know, fight the good fight. There was some effort going on. You're swinging, you're kicking, you're punching, you know, you're going at it. And we've got to do that with faith. We've got to use the word of God and come at sickness that way. Ephesians 6:12 in the KJV says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places." And so I don't know if you've ever seen a wrestling match or not. I remember in high school going to a couple of wrestling matches, and it was constant movement and effort to win the match. It's, talk about a sport I would never want to do, ever. I just don't even understand. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, headlocks and you're flipping them over and they flip you back and, you know, but it's constant movement. There's always something happening. That person's constantly working to win. And so we must remain consistent in building our faith, just like that wrestler has to be consistent. Like if you want to win the fight and you're in a good fight, you have to be consistent. We must remain consistent in building our faith to be ready for any faith fight that may come up. You know, athletes are very good athletes. Champions are very consistent. You know, champions, number one, are those who have mastered the fundamentals. Okay, the people on the championship field are the ones who do it right and do it right all the time. They've mastered the fundamentals. And then really, you know, champions don't train for a week and then take 3 weeks off. Well, I'm not going to train these weeks. I don't know. I'll just go on vacation for 3 weeks. No, that's not how you become a champion. You know, the championships really aren't won, whether it's, you know, on a basketball court or in a boxing ring, on a football field. It's really not won there that day. It was really won in training. They really won in the gym. You know, they really won, you know, training and doing what they do and mastering the fundamentals. And when we get consistent in our faith, when we continue to master the fundamentals of faith that we've been taught, you know, believing and speaking and meditating and the things that we've been taught, then we really begin to see progress. I have a key statement for you. Consistency is the powerhouse of faith. It is the... get you to understand, it is little by little. If you would consistently every day listen to the healing word, consistently every day make your healing confessions, consistently every day read healing scriptures, it's amazing what happens. But consistency is the powerhouse of faith. I noticed a couple of characteristics of people who believed Jesus could heal them and then receive their healing, and I just want to go through these real quickly. The first one, the first characteristic, was that they aggressively pursued Jesus. People who wanted to be healed when Jesus was on the earth, they would aggressively go after him. Mark 2:1-4, we're going to read this real quick. It says, "And then he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. So there's one on each corner of the bed there. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Verses 11 and 12 say this, I say to you, basically, you know, this guy, this sick man, has four friends. He wants to be healed, and they want him to be healed. So they lift him up. They can't get in the door. There's usually these types of houses. There were stairs that would go up to the roof. But they broke through, pulled up the roof, let him down. It then says, I didn't put it in there, but it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said this, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed, glorifying God, saying, we never saw anything like this. And, you know, we talked about in one of our other healing school lessons that we don't have to have Jesus here in the physical flesh. Right. We have the Word. And John chapter 1 told us that he was the Word made flesh, okay, and that he dwelt among us. So we have to aggressively pursue the Word the way people aggressively pursue Jesus. You know, I have to take a look and say, okay, what am I doing to aggressively pursue the Word of God?
That's good.
You know,
it doesn't just happen by accident.
It doesn't.
I've got to be intentional. I've got to make time. It's got to be in the forefront of my mind.
It does.
It's not going to make time for me. I've got to make
right.
time for it.
Right. Well, it's not going to turn on itself. I mean, I'm going to have to turn it on. I mean, I remember the Holy Ghost spoke to me, you know, once and said, you know, basically said, hey, Deb, you're choosing... you were choosing entertainment over edification.
Wow.
Excuse me, I was in a faith fight. And I mean, that's just how he talks to me. You know, but I like that. Like, honestly, I want you to just come straight. Like, don't beat around. I'm just like that as a person. Like, don't beat around the bush. Don't make me wonder what you think. And you got something to say, just say it. You know? So that's how he deals
that's
with me.
Truth.
That's the truth. What's the point? You know? I mean, I appreciate it. You try to go soft and everything, but like, you know, and so he knows me like that. And so I was like, yes, sir. So, you know, I mean, there was one preacher I listened to. He talked about the fact that, you know, he might watch a movie or watch an episode of some show he liked or something, but he made the decision he would always listen to the Word first. So before he would do that, he would listen to a lesson and then he would go do that. So he would put the Word, he would put his edification before the entertainment. Why? Because I'm trying to get healed.
That's right.
Okay? And Gunsmoke can't heal me. And whatever else, because I know that's something really old and some of you don't even know what that is. But I don't really watch TV, you know. Law and Order can't heal me, whatever it is, you know. And it doesn't mean there's anything inherently wrong with watching, you know, obviously watching TV. But I have to have priorities. What am I trying to do here? I'm trying to get a manifestation of healing, mm-hmm. you know. And so I've got to put the Word in. I've got to put the Word in. The other thing they did is they spoke about what they believed in. I'm not even going to refer to it. You can go look at it, or I'm going to refer, but I'm not going to read it. Mark chapter 10 was blind Bartimaeus, and Pastor talked about him recently in one of his lessons. And basically, he's a blind man. He hears Jesus is coming, and he starts shouting at the top of his lungs, Son of David, have mercy on me. Everybody tells him to be quiet. He don't listen. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, call him, and he healed him. So you have to speak up. You've got to call out to God for you. He was aggressive.
He spoke up. What he believed.
And that's
he was
it.
Aggressive.
And we got to do the same thing.
Amen. A couple
Amen.
Questions. How do I know when the Word has begun to take root in my life?
That's a good question.
How do I know that the time I have spent listening to the Word and studying the Word has begun to pay off? How do I know?
That's good. That's a good question.
I got an answer for
you.
You
going to tell me?
When we begin to speak the Word out of our mouth effortlessly, when the Word just comes flowing out.
That's good.
Great example, Acts 3 and 6. All right, Peter passes by a lame man at the gate called Beautiful. This lame man is begging for money, and Peter responds saying, Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Yes.
His response was a faith reflex.
That's good. Right? That's good, yes.
It wasn't premeditated because he didn't know that the lame man was going to be at the gate called Beautiful.
No, that's right.
But he was passing by, saw the problem, and what was in his heart, he spoke up out of his mouth.
That's it.
He's like, what you're asking for, I don't have, but what you need, I do have.
Yes, I know, that's Amen.
So it was a faith reflex.
That's good.
So what happened is exactly what Jesus said would happen in the latter part of Matthew 12 and 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
That's good.
And this is a key statement. The word has taken root in my life when it easily flows out of my mouth.
Boom. That's
good. So I'm no longer just reading the words off a page, but I'm walking through the house. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm saying it without reading it.
That's
Amen. Now,
really
it's good to start with reading.
Yes.
But what happens is the word is alive.
Right.
And you keep planting it and you keep planting it.
That's
and
it.
You keep planting it.
Consistency.
It has to come out of the abundance of your heart. Your mouth is going to tell on your heart.
No, it's an overflow.
Amen.
So it's like if I have a cup here and then I have a pitcher and I start pouring water into it. If I just let it pour, let it pour, let it pour, eventually what's going to happen? Eventually it's going to overflow. And so if I keep putting the word in my heart, what's going to happen? Eventually it's going to overflow. The overflow of my heart is my mouth.
That's
it's got to come out. That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
All right, we're going to talk about another roadblock to healing. Number four, the wrong company. All right, another roadblock to healing is the wrong company. You know, I was thinking about the passage you had read about the four men carrying the guy who was, you know, on the bed.
That's perfect.
The right company.
That's the right company.
You need to have friends like that.
I know that's right.
You're going through something.
Yes.
And they say, you know what? I understand you're hurting. We're going to church.
I'm going to carry you there.
That's it.
Let me take you there. I'm coming to get you.
I'm going to give you a ride. I'm coming to pick you up at this time.
Right.
Comb your hair. Brush your teeth. Put on something. We're going to church.
That's right. Come on, y'all.
Amen.
That's it.
Because the church you go to and the word you hear,
it makes a difference. Yes, it does.
That man who was not able to walk needed friends to get him to the right
place.
Yes,
I know that's right.
And if you have friends that don't come and get you, I would suggest to you they may not be your friends. Because my
friends, the right ones.
No, you're coming to come on. We need to talk better than that. We don't need to be declaring things we don't want to see manifest. No, we know better than that.
Right.
We go to a Word of Faith church.
Right.
No, I'm not scared. No, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not scared.
Right.
I'm not in fear. We're going to church.
Right.
I'm picking you up. We're going to church.
Right.
Okay, we're having services now. I'll even bring your mask.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about the mask. I'll do it. I'll even pick you up a coffee on the way.
Yeah, right.
Mask. You got a cup of coffee. We is going to church.
We're going to church. I know that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we all need help in our journey, and that's okay.
That's right.
That's okay. But faith people speaking faith words will help strengthen my faith.
That's it.
And that's why we need to be around each other and people of faith. So if you're in a situation where you need help and they're not coming, they're not your friends.
That's it. Oh, that's right. Because your friends will come help you.
Yeah, that's the old school song, Friends. How many of us have them?
No idea what he's talking about.
This is old school. Like, I'm 8.
No, you got to remember, like, we're showing up saved in my house. Like, I don't.
Yeah, we were on the playground. Yeah. We used to have the thick laces in the shoes. Y'all remember that? And they tuck them in and everything. I'm like, oh, yeah. All right. So
I was reading books and playing violin. I don't know. But
you were reading Nancy Drew.
I was. I was reading Nancy Drew and playing violin. You know, I found your sandals the other day.
What's that? Oh, Jesus.
I moved something sandals in the closet, and I saw these flip-flops, and I'm sure he hid because he never wants to wear them again. I think we bought them. So if you don't know what we're talking about, you got to go back 2 lessons to hear the
they
joke.
They were expensive sandals. I remember that. Like, why'd you spend $45 on a pair of sandals? Where's the rest of the shoe?
Anyway, okay, moving right along. Okay, the next roadblock to healing is negative experiences. Negative experiences. We cannot allow what's happened to us in the past or to someone we know, including even people that we love or are close to us, to dictate what we believe about healing. We can never, ever allow a negative experience to take a higher place than the Word of God in our lives. We can't do that. There was a man named Jairus in the Bible who had to overcome a serious negative experience. I'm just going to refer to it again because we're winding down, but it's Mark chapter 5. And basically, he is on his way. He comes to Jesus, says, come lay your hands on my daughter. She'll be healed. On his way, they get delay after delay until finally a group comes to tell him, don't trouble the master any longer. He said, your daughter is dead. So now his dying daughter becomes his dead daughter. Mm-hmm. And he's got to overcome that negative experience of hearing that his little girl has died. Okay? And Jesus looks at him and says, only believe. You know, so like, shh. You know, sometimes we have to have a vocabulary of silence. We got to know when to, shh, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Okay. And so, and one thing that account shows us is God's going to get to us even if there's a delay. Absolutely. Because what happens is Jesus then goes with them and he raises the little girl from the dead. And there's nothing in your life that God cannot raise from the dead if you will get in faith and stay in faith.
Amen.
He can take care of anything.
That's good. Amen.
Yes.
You know, I want to close with a familiar verse, and then mm-hmm. we're going to head into time of prayer.
Yes, yes.
Amen. I want you to listen to Isaiah 53, verse 5.
Mm.
You know, and when I pray it, I always say Jesus when it says, but he.
Yes.
Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions.
Yes, he was.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement
Thank
of
you,
our
Father.
Peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
That's it. That's it. That's it. That's everything right there. That verse. That gives us everything we need. With his stripes, we are healed. And we thank God for all the natural things. And, I thank God for the vaccine. I thank God for medicines. I thank, we do those things. We use wisdom. But ultimately, with his stripes, I am healed. Amen. And so we're going to pray with you now. We just want to have a time of prayer, come into agreement with you for manifested healing in your life. The anointing is here, and the anointing is where you are.